2021 business meeting of Simpsonville City Council. City Clerk Long, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, sir. Councilmember Gooch?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Here.
Councilmember Rocher? Councilmember Rocher?
Here.
Councilmember Cummings?
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Clerk Long. For the next item on the agenda, item number three is presentations. Mr. David Phillips of Green Finney LLP has joined us. Mr. Phillips, are you prepared to do your presentation?
Yes, now my camera hasn't been working too well lately, so it might create a little bit of a fuzz there, so my apologies. Sometimes I tell them I'm angelic. My wife says it's probably demonic, but you know, it is what it is. Do y'all have a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, each of you? Okay, I didn't know if that was going to like pop up on another screen or kind of how that worked. But if you don't mind, you know, as we've done in the past, you know, to try to go through the whole financial statements would probably about kill y'all tonight. And so what we have, you know, tried to do is always just kind of put together a really brief high-level snapshot of, you know, what took place for fiscal year 2020. Now, remember, we're talking about fiscal year 2020. We're all the way back in June. And I know you're already into January of 21, so you always kind of have to step back a little bit and really put your hat on related to the year ended June 30th of 2020. But again, on the very first page, on the second slide, we always like to remind everybody of the importance of internal controls. You know, one thing that we do as your auditors is that we try to look at your significant internal control processes each year. We try to kick those tires. For example, if we don't see bank recs being prepared on a timely basis, it's not only important that I let Diane know about it and Christine, but it's also important that you as a council be aware of that. Or if I see where, you know, hey, bills are being paid and nobody's reviewing them, nobody's approving them. So we're kicking those type of tires each year as well. Again, the last thing, these are your financial statements. So Christine and them, they make sure that, you know, that the ledger system that they have ties to these financial statements, because at the end of the day, these are your numbers. All right, next page. You know, our responsibility, of course, is to issue an opinion. You know, we look at everything from a materiality perspective. And, you know, you have gotten an unmodified opinion. I know that's kind of a strange term, but if it was modified, we would say everything looks good except for something. And you really don't want one of those. So it's unmodified, meaning we're not aware of anything being materially misstated. Now, there could be small amounts, but we're saying from a materiality perspective there. All right, on the bottom, slide number four. Let's look at your fund balance. I know this is a huge driver for all our governments. And I think what's very helpful here, if you look at the chart on the right, it kind of gives you a little perspective of kind of how things have changed over the last few years. But your total fund balance increased $2 million. In your fund balance, there's various categories. There's a little bit of it that's restricted. As you see, they're unspent bond proceeds. There's some non-spendable fund balance. You made a prepayment on a fire truck, and that truck hadn't been received yet. And so we have to show it as a prepaid. And then we go to the next slide, slide number five. You're left with a category of unassigned. Unassigned meaning there's no constraints that have been placed on those funds. And that balance is $15.1 million, and it's about 82% of your 2020 actual expenditures and about 80% of your budgeted 2021 expenditures. The GFOA, which stands for the Government Finance Officers Association, they're kind of like the Bible of governments. They recommend a minimum of 2 months. And if you remember too, y'all have a minimum fund balance policy that requires 25%. So you can see you stand very, very strong. Now, some people, they wonder, why do you need fund balance? Well, look at the next slide, slide number six. You know, some of your revenues really only come in at certain times. Think about your property taxes, those on your mortgages, your real property taxes. Those bills usually go out in October. People pay them in December if they want the tax deduction, and then they pay them, if not, in January or February. But you really don't collect a lot of real property taxes after that. Business licenses are very much a certain time of the year as well. But the biggest point here is really that last bullet point. You know, we've had a health pandemic, and those entities that had money set aside in a, you know, unassigned contingency monies, they're able to weather a situation like this a lot better than a government that had no fund balance. And so, you know, this is really helps you when you have uncertainties in a health pandemic and so forth. All right, next slide. This will be slide number seven. Let's look at your general fund revenues. They were approximately $19.1 million. The biggest component being taxes. Remember, your taxes are not only your real property taxes or your property taxes, but also include the MASC fees and also the franchise fees, because they're really just another form of a tax. So those three are kind of rolled up into that tax number. And then you also had licenses and permits and shared revenues and some other revenues as well. This was a slight decrease over the prior year. We actually saw a lot of governments have a lot of decreases, but your revenues really held up as a whole. And what we have found too is the more, you know, you were not so contingent on dine-in restaurants, most of those communities did better than those that did have just totally dine-in restaurants, because people kept eating out. They just went through the drive-thru. And so if you have a lot of those type of, you know, businesses, those kind of held up during the health pandemic. As it relates to the prior year, or we talked about the $200,000 decrease from the prior year, but as it relates to the budget, you actually still came in over budget by about $600,000, and most of that was in the property tax side. All right, let's look at your general fund expenditures. They were $18.5 million. We list the various areas, but you know, just traditionally, when we look at most of our municipalities, around 50%, anywhere from 40 to 60% is public safety, and you're right in that range there. And then, of course, there's general government, public works, and so forth. And then when we look at it as compared to the prior year, you had an increase of about $1.1 million. And remember, most governments, if they have an increase, it's really people costs. And if you remember, y'all had a number of wage adjustments this past this year. You know, 3% COLA, some merit adjustments, and some other salary adjustments. You know, of course, benefit costs, unfortunately, go up every year. The FEBA, the retirement system, that goes up 1% pretty much every year. And just some higher operating expenditures as well. But as it relates to your budget, which you as a council approved, you actually still came in under budget. And that, to me, is the real important point. If I'm a council member, is I want to see that my management adhered to the budget that we approved. If they want to change, need more money, then they should bring it back to council so that we can, you know, amend that budget. So again, you were under budget by about $500,000. All right, next slide. Slide number nine. We're just going to briefly look at some of your other funds. Remember, you have an accommodation and hospitality tax fund, and you had an ending fund balance there of about $3.5 million. Remember, those monies are pretty much restricted for tourism-related type of activities. And then we've come down to the sewer fund. You had approximately $13.9 million in net position at the end of the year, of which about $1.9 million was unrestricted. And then we just list some of the revenue and expenses and, you know, kind of what they were for. But there was pretty much standard type of stuff, nothing really unusual there. This year was the first year on the bottom on slide 10 that you have this new public works fund. Remember that new public works fee? And so a new enterprise fund was created. So if you go look at the financials and you flip in there, you'll find your sewer fund, but right beside it you'll see this Public Works Enterprise Fund, where we're tracking all of the revenue and expenditures related to that revenue source. So, you know, I just wanted to highlight that. If you ever kind of wanted to see where that statement was, you could go look it up. But again, you had net position of about $1.4 million at the end of the year. You had revenues come in, operating and non-operating, of about $1.4 million, and then a grant from about $600,000 to $700,000 from the county. And then you turned around and used that grant for some road improvements. So that's kind of the activity. I know there's going to be a lot more activity in the future, but you've got to realize this was kind of the startup year for this fund. All right, next page. Let's look at your pension accounting. You know, you participate in the state retirement plans. Unfortunately, those plans are very, very underfunded. And so how it works is the GASB, which is the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, they want you or us to allocate your percentage of the state liability and calculate that. And your number is approximately $15.6 million. And how that is done is they take your retirement contributions to the PIVA as a percentage of all retirement contributions. And whatever that little percentage is, you get that percentage of the $22.8 billion liability for the SCRS. And then there's a liability, of course, for the PRS as well. The real takeaway here is that second to the last bullet point on slide number 11 is the rate increases. You know, because they're so underfunded, they've been stair-stepping 1% rate increases each year, one out. But remember, because of the health pandemic, for fiscal year 21, they suspended it. And what they're going to do is add one more year on the back end. So it's not like you're going to get away from it ultimately, but they're going to add that 1% rate increase on the last year on the cycle there. All right, next slide. Slide number 12 is briefly look at your capital assets. Had a total balance there of $60.9 million. It increased about $4.1 million over the prior year. You had additions of about $7.1 million, and we kind of list a lot of those. Remember, also, you received a donated fire truck from Greenville County, so that was about $1.3 million this year. You had a number of road, stormwater improvements, sewer rehabilitation projects, so, you know, a number of things going on that led to these additions of 7.1. But remember, when we capitalize something, we begin to depreciate it also over its estimated useful life. And that's the depreciation you see on the bottom there of $3 million. So the net of those two, the additions minus that depreciation, is a net change in your capital assets. All right, next slide. Slide number 13. You have long-term obligations outstanding of about $15.3 million. Slight decrease this year of $1.2 million if you made regularly scheduled principal payments of $2.5 million. But remember, this year you issued about $1.1 million in new issuances. Remember, you did a general obligation bond for about $772,000 for finance a fire truck. And then you have some lease purchase issuance as well for about $314,000 for some police radios. So those were what the two issuances were for. Remember, you know, the state has this legal debt limit, and that is about $7.6 million, of which you have outstanding debt of about $1.2 million, and leaving you a legal debt margin of about $6.4 million. Your mortgage payment for the year that you're in right now, fiscal year 21, is about $2.5 million. $2 million in principal and about $500,000 of interest. All right, next slide, number 14. We don't really see any major auditing changes right now. We had a big change that took place for this year, the new Yellow Book standards. But there are some new accounting principal changes coming. The first one will kick in next year. And the only thing I think would have probably the biggest impact on the city is there's the 1% firemen's funds. Those now have to be recorded in the government's financial statements. And they were kind of kept off book because they're totally governed by the Firemen's Association and the Firemen's Board here. But the GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, says, no, we think they're still part of the city, and we want them to be reflected in the financial statements. So next year, you'll probably see them show up as a separate special revenue fund in a separate column next year. The last item is on leases. That's a couple years away, but they want to treat leases like debt. So let's say you chose to rent a piece of property for 5 years at $100,000. On those government-wide statements where we show the pension liability and the debt and so forth, they want you to set up a liability for $500,000 for the lease and a right-to-use asset for $500,000. They want you to treat it just like debt. So just kind of be aware that that will be coming in the next couple years as well. All right, next slide, number 15. We did have one item that we have to make you aware of. If we ever have to make or recommend a significant adjustment, there was one transfer that got booked inadvertently twice. And so we noticed it, we told Christine, and they fixed it. But again, if it's of a certain materiality, we just have to make you aware of it. So that adjustment was made. We did not have to perform a single audit. So remember, if you ever get a lot of federal money, over $750,000, we have to do a special single audit. And so that is actually taking place with a lot of our clients this year with the COVID months. And it's really held up a lot of the audits this year, which, normally we, are already taken care of and issued long ago. On the top there, on the management letter, that's a required communication. If there was disagreements we had with Christine or Diana, if they were hard to work with, we would have to note that in this letter. And we had no issues like that. The very last slide, number 16, again, just want to remind you, you have an unmodified opinion. That's actually a good thing. You have really strong financial condition. I mean, you really have. And you can see, of course, that just doesn't happen overnight. It's something that the councils there for years have worked towards. And when you have that, it gives you opportunities and options that a lot of other governments may not have. And then the last thing there, the staff are just really great to work with. Christine and her staff and Diana, it's just really, really good people to deal with. And we can't always say that about everywhere we go. Again, I want to open the floor for any questions because I know I go quick, but sometimes you're probably glad I go quick so you can do more important things. Any questions?
Council members, staff? Don't see anybody asking for attention. Mr. Phillips, we appreciate your report. Thank you very much. It's a good report. And congratulations, Administrator Gracely and Director Farino. Thank you. All right. Our next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for December the 8th, 2020. Are there any revisions, corrections to the minutes of the December 8th business meeting of City Council? There being none, the minutes will stand approved as submitted. We received no citizen comments for this evening's meeting, so we'll move on to item number 6A, Contract Awards Art Center. Administrator Gracely, will you summarize for us, please?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor, members of Council. As you know, we've been working on this Art Center project for quite some time, and I've kept you abreast of all of the holdups we've had because the federal funding that's involved has caused more red tape and some delays. But we finally were able to put the project out to bid. We had a number of contractors and subcontractors show up for the pre-bid meeting, so I was encouraged that we would have a lot of bids, and we did. The bid tabulation is included in your council packet. Very pleased with the way the numbers came in. Of course, you always have numbers that are a bit out of the ballpark, and we did have a couple of rather high bids. But most of them were in the same general area, which gives us a lot of confidence that the contractors are all seeing the materials the same way, and a lot of the subcontractors are bidding these jobs competitively. So tonight I am recommending that Council approve a contract with Central Interiors Incorporated in the amount of $1,738,182.04. So that is the low bid because, again, federal money is included in this project. We were required to do this project through a competitive bid process where everyone had access to the plan documents and all of the specifications. They came out, they viewed the building, they talked with their subcontractors, they filled out all the bid forms completely and agreed to all of the conditions that the grant requires for work on this project. And as the bid opening was transpiring, of course, you know, you have an apparent low bidder. After we announce who the apparent low bidder is, then I issue a notice of intent to award a contract. It is not a contract award. It's an intent to award based on a complete and thorough review of the contractor to make sure there are no department issues, to make sure their references check out, to make sure that their creditors are good, because we don't want to get in a situation with a contractor who's unable to perform. After that thorough review, we feel confident that this contractor is able to perform. And so all of the documents now are down at the Department of Commerce getting their final review. So the only two steps left is for a council approval to sign the contract once those documents have been approved by Commerce.
Thank you, Administrator Gracely. A motion is in order. Councilmember Houlihan?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that council approve awarding the contract for the Arts Center to Central Interiors Incorporated.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Cummings to approve the award of the contract for the Arts Center with Central Interiors Incorporated. Discussion?
Do we have
there is no discussion? Excuse me, Councilmember Hutchings.
What is the proposed starting date for the construction?
That depends on how quickly Commerce turns the contract documents around. I'm hopeful that they have up to 30 days to review and give us an approval. I'm hoping they'll do that a little quicker, but that's not been the case with all the other things we've had to go through on this project. So I'm going to say, so that I can give you an accurate response, that it will be at least mid-February before any construction starts, because once I sign the contract, the contractor, of course, will have to order materials and line his subs up to do the work. So, you know, it still takes a couple weeks once a contract's awarded for them to actually get started. And just to mention to you, this is not the total project cost. Of course, this does not include any of the design fees that we have paid to the architect or that we will still owe the architect for construction management. It also does not include special materials inspections, which we have to do through a third party. And it does not include the seating in the auditorium, which we have procured separately. We had some chairs. All of this happened during COVID, so I know you all weren't coming to City Hall regularly, but we did have multiple samples of auditorium seating in the conference room. And after reviewing that and talking to all of the manufacturers, we selected that. So that's going to be ordered and installed outside of the contract with Central Interiors, which is a good thing because we're saving their general contractor markup on that. The other thing that's going to be done separately is the sound and lighting, theater curtains, things like that for the facility. So just to understand that this $1.7 million is not the entire cost of the project.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Cummings?
Hello. Hey, Diana. Does this include any grace or discretionary amounts for if the prices of said material increases or hopefully decreases, but probably increases?
It does not. The good thing about this project, because it's a renovation and not a new construction, is there's not a whole lot of lumber and things like that that have variable pricing. So the good thing is it's not terribly risky for the general contractor to set his price, and it's not risky on our part either that we're overpaying right now for something that might be cheaper in the future. So no, I mean, the bid is what it is. And the only changes to the contractor's pricing would be if there's an unforeseen change order that we need to make, something that maybe was overlooked during the design of the project or something that they turn up. You know, we've torn the ceiling tiles out of the auditorium. We've taken all the auditorium seats out. So we know the general conditions of the building. So I don't anticipate many change orders, but you just never know. I mean, of course, this is a very old building. And there's electrical work, there's HVAC work, so there could be some things that we've not anticipated, but hopefully the price you see will stay very close to that amount by the time the project's complete.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from council? Councilmember Hutchings.
Just want to make one other comment. I'm very pleased with the amount of this construction. Based on the feasibility study that we did, I believe in 2015, we estimated it to be around $2.2 million. We're coming in well under that over five years later. So, and with the understanding that some of the costs are also not included, but they weren't in that study as well. So. Thank you very much for your work on this.
Any other comments or questions from council? Okay, thank you. So on the motion to approve the award of the contract for the Art Center with Central Interiors Incorporated, we'll do a roll call vote. City Clerk Long, will you conduct the vote, please?
Yes, sir. Councilmember Vich?
Yes.
Councilmember Kelly?
Yes.
Councilmember Houlihan?
Yes.
Councilmember Rocher?
Yes.
Councilmember Cummings?
Yes.
Councilmember Hutchings?
Yes.
Mayor Schumacher?
Yes.
Motion carried unanimously.
Thank you, Council. I believe that concludes all the business on the agenda. If there is no objection, we will stand adjourned. Have a good night.